Of the many allegations of fraud against both major candidates, there are stories of some pretty brazen incidents of ballot box stuffing, and we're going to hear about one now. It apparently occurred in a town outside of Kabul called Chainao. It was first reported by Times of London correspondent Tom Coughlin. Here he describes what he saw on election day when he arrived at a polling station just an hour after voting began.
It was immediately obvious that something quite odd was going on, because there were no voters there at all. We didn't see any voters. There were a lot of staff there, and people were uneasy with our presence. And it was very quickly clear why, because as soon as we looked at the ballot boxes, they were more than three quarters full.
And you could tell that because they were clear-ish plastic.
And I demanded to see the lists of voter registration cards that had been used at that polling station already. And I was able to count over 6,000 votes that had been cast at that polling center.
So you looked at these mostly full ballot boxes and you did a little bit of math.
Absolutely. Bear in mind that a voter on average takes about 4 minutes to go through the process. In this instance, it worked out that those 6,025 voters would have had to be processed at a rate of one every 7 seconds.
So you write that this area was controlled by a tribal chief who was a big supporter of Hamid Karzai's.
Absolutely. And his name is Haji Mullah Lawani Tarakheo. He's about 30 years old, quite a flamboyant figure, sometimes known as Crazy Tarakheo. We tracked him down to his rather large mansion, and we asked him about these allegations of fraud. He claimed these were entirely false, but we did notice at his house as we were interviewing him that a large number of his followers seemed to be wearing armbands that denoted that they were polling station officials working for the Independent Electoral Commission. We visited another polling station in the area where this man's bodyguards were actually guarding the polling station, and some of them were wearing badges with the face of Hamid Karzai on them.
Now, while you were at this first polling station, did you see any voters show up at all?
The first polling station we were at, we saw no voters at all for the first hour. And then we saw 30 voters arrive in one load on the back of a lorry. We also questioned the police outside the polling station, and what they had to say was very interesting. They said that the electoral officials had arrived at around 4 a.m., and since voting began at 7 a.m., they said that they had seen three lorries arrive, two people carriers, and three or four cars, probably in total no more than about 100 people. And they also said, they were very specific, there had been no women voters. But in the polling station, there were actually 3,500 votes that had been cast by women.
So this is just a single small town, a single small settlement. But what has come of all of that?
Well, at the moment, there is an investigation going on. To date, we don't actually have a decision on this area. But it is one of the most high-profile instances of ballot box stuffing for which there is actually concrete evidence from independent witnesses, i.e. me and my photographer and our interpreter.
So did you go to this polling station because you knew that the area had this powerful tribal chief, or did you just happen to pick it because it was outside Kabul and a good place to start?
I really did just stumble on it. This area I chose because in 2004, I was also covering the elections in Afghanistan, and this area was an area I visited at that time. It's a nomadic area, and I was working with a photographer, and we needed evocative pictures of Afghans voting. So it was purely on the basis of that chance. There were no other Western monitors in that polling station, and there were just some extremely surprised and rather unhappy-looking people when we turned up there.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Correspondent Tom Coughlin covered the elections in Afghanistan. He's with the Times of London.